FM. Keith Murphy.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Andy Fails.
I pity the fool.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
You can do it!
On 1460 KXNO, and now on 106.3 FM.
It is a new day here on the Murph and Andy Show. Glad to have you with us here on a Thursday. Alongside Andy Fails, I'm Keith Murphy. Andrew Downs is producing. We call him AD. And it feels good to be a new day. That was a long, sad, hard day we had yesterday, including at times the 2 hours we were doing this show. That was one of those days you won't forget.
No, we've had a lot of those days, but yesterday was unprecedented. And then there you go. We were supposed to stop using that word in the new year, and there's no other word for it.
I've never seen
that before.
It was unprecedented, and boy, I had trouble getting away from it, because it was the kind of day where when I'm sharing things on my Facebook page in particular, but also on Twitter. This is the kind of day where I get the direct messages of Stick to Sports.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always, and I always just say, you know, with all due respect, this is my Facebook page. Mm-hmm. I'm going to share whatever I find interesting, fun, informative, maybe a combination of those things, and at times vital, I'm going to share. And I understand, no hard feelings. If you want to unfollow, well within your rights, too, but I'm not just a sportscaster. I'm an American. I'm a citizen. I'm a dad. I'm a son. I'm a friend. I'm a father. This is my page.
You're a voter. You're a taxpayer. You got a vested interest in this country.
And what it ends up meaning, though, it's always predictable. It's always from someone who doesn't like the news of that day.
Yes.
Feels frustrated or embarrassed by it, and then. Not only will they tell you need to stick to sports, or, hey, I follow you for, you know, I love you with sports. I don't want to see this stuff. Where were your objections during all of the information I've shared on Proclamation or BLM or interviews with the police chief or COVID-19? Why today is the tipping point for you? Well, it's because you didn't like what you saw, and then you get into that.
That's an awfully sad hill to die on, though.
I know.
Yesterday,
I know.
What you saw, sticking up for what you saw yesterday in some way.
Well, just, I don't want to see it. I come to you for sports. I don't want to see that. Yeah. I see that everywhere else.
I just think it's, I think most people who are supporters of this president were probably pretty quiet yesterday.
Well, yeah, and there were some
other than the ones that were in Washington, right?
Yeah,
I think there were a lot of them that just sort of said, "You know what? I'm going to set this one out. I'm going to wait till this cools off."
As we started the show with yesterday, we both have friends and family all along the political spectrum, and even last night when you heard Vice President Pence or Mitch McConnell, I mean, the actions at the White House or at the Capitol, this was condemned by everyone. Well, virtually everyone.
Just about.
Nearly
everyone. Just about, yeah.
It was a sad day. It was a bad day.
Yeah, today he's losing cabinet members left and right.
Well,
Elaine Chao, the Secretary of Transportation, just resigned. She's the wife of Mitch McConnell, who I haven't heard him stand up to the president like he did yesterday before.
Right, right.
But, and yeah, I mean, there
it
are...
was needed.
Look, there are certainly moderate Republicans and even conservative Republicans who had no support for what happened yesterday.
I know several.
I was just... My parents... Yeah, who I was just talking with earlier today. They're like so angry about this. My mom made me promise not to talk to my dad about anything political on the phone.
She's keep like, the peace.
Don't
stress him.
Don't raise his blood pressure right now, because, I mean, he's kind of mad at everything.
Sure.
I mean, there's no real good way to feel. But yeah, it's just nuts. And you think about this. Man, I miss those long stretches that we used to have where the biggest headline was something that would not even make it into the newscast these days. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean,
we got five or six stories going on right now that would lead at any other time of the year.
Absolutely. I mean,
the Georgia runoff, the Senate flipped blue. Wait, let me put it a different way. A black man was elected to the Senate in Georgia, and no one even said anything about that. For the first time ever, the Senate flipped because of Georgia, which both senators are now Democrats. And that didn't even get mentioned.
And I understand it. And I went to college in Georgia.
Yeah, yeah, imagine that. I mean, think about that.
I know.
When you were in college there in the 80s. I mean, think of it. That'd be unimaginable. And at any other time that leads, and you're talking to local leaders, talking about how they never thought they would see that type of day, and it doesn't even make a blip.
I get it, because it was so distracting. Won't spend much time on this today, but President Trump did finally say the transition to President-elect Biden would be orderly.
Right. Doesn't say that until it's not.
In response to Trump supporters storming the U.S. Capitol Wednesday, several lawmakers and a U.S. trade group are calling to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove the president from office. The 25th Amendment states, if the president becomes unable to do his job, the vice president takes over.
Well, that's a real long shot there.
President Trump has been blocked from Facebook and Instagram indefinitely and for at least the next 2 weeks until the peaceful transition of power
is complete.
To
the end of the month now. Yeah, to the end of the month. I think they took it
to the end of the month. Yeah. Okay. Well,
fill out the rest of his term. But Twitter, he was required to remove three tweets that he sent out yesterday that were lies. And he did. He actually did. So it got him back on Twitter.
Is
right?
he back?
Well, he was allowed. The 12 hours expired
this morning.
Morning, right.
Okay, so that would be a Facebook thing.
I haven't seen him tweet today, but I know it did expire.
Yeah, I got him blocked.
Jeez.
Is he tweeting at you?
No, nah, I don't need hate in my timeline.
Well, but
and
what
he
you just don't
hate.
Yeah, I just don't follow.
Yeah, I just don't need it.
Oh.
Well, it was a remarkable day, and I think most of us think of it as a sad day for America, but there were some there were some positives. I mean, at the end, the vote continued and democracy continued. I mean, it moved on
and moved more smoothly. I think there were a lot who removed their objections and just kind of greased the wheels. You heard Lindsey Graham just stand up there and said, "I'm done with this," and yeah, he's been a real stick in the spokes.
Kelly Loeffler, who lost the election 36 hours ago, stood up and said she no longer objects to the results in Georgia.
Top of Mind is presented by BMW of Des Moines, and this is out of the NCAA basketball tournament, where certainly Drake and Iowa fans are paying particularly close attention to the men's tournament. By the way, should mention the Iowa basketball team plays in the Washington, D.C. area tonight, so a lot of photos from the reporters who are there are being shared, everything from newspaper headlines to what the White House and what the Capitol look like today and all of that. So Iowa's, I think College Park is about 15 minutes from where all of that took place yesterday, but to the NCAA tournament.
You like would be 15 minutes if it weren't located in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, I meant 2 hours and 15 minutes.
That's crow flies.
Yeah, 15 minutes if you are in a helicopter.
Right.
All right, so the NCAA tournament will take place entirely in central Indiana, and all Tier 1 travel party participants in the tournament, that includes the athletes, the players, coaches, trainers, physical therapists, medical and equipment staff, and officials, those that you have to have in order to have these games, they're going to have to show 7 consecutive negative COVID-19 tests before arriving in Indianapolis. That's Tier 1. And then Tier 1 individuals will then undergo daily PCR testing upon arrival and throughout the tournament.
Wow.
That
they
is
are serious.
Strict. Yeah, they're creating, it's not a bubble, but they're going to try to
make sure
really
that everybody that comes in there is completely negative.
Have they set a schedule for this? Because it seems like in order to do this, you would need some time between conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament. Because if you have all of the Big Ten playing in, I don't know where the Big Ten tournament is this year, but let's say Chicago,
It doesn't
need to give
do,
them time to post negative tests before going to Indianapolis.
You can't do more than one a day. Doesn't do you any good to do more than
seven
one a day.
In one day.
You would have to do them in seven consecutive days, and then you've got a, I'm sure, they'll probably test you again when you show up. And then the daily PCR test. I imagine these other ones are the antigen test, the rapid test, the spit test, or just the less invasive ones.
Mm-hmm.
The PCR test, that's the tweak your brain.
Yeah,
that's
the one you got yesterday, Homer.
I've had a couple this week.
Those aren't fun.
I had one that was much better than the other. I mean, the
it's funny. I had my ninth yesterday.
It can be random.
You're right about that. It depends on probably not just on who's doing it,
right?
But just the way they're standing, the
maybe
angle.
Even your body, like if you have a little swelling in your sinus or something.
She brushed the inside of my sinus cavity yesterday with one of the Q-tips, one of those, what do they call those? A cotton...
swab.
there's some technical term for it, and I don't know it, but...
The Q-tip, man, I know what you mean.
Tough Q-tip, but it brushed the inside of my sinus cavity, and I was like, oh! It hurt. I mean, brought full tears to my eyes right then. She's like, "Well, you've never had this done before." And I'm like, "Uh-oh, lady. This is my ninth.
Yeah.
This is on you.
I'm a veteran.
Don't try to put this on me, man."
Interestingly for me, and I've had five tests, all negative, by the way. Interestingly for me, the inside, you know, where they take the swab and they go inside your just in your nose, like not all the way back, but the other kind where they...
antigen test, yeah.
That's an antigen test? Okay, that's what that's called. Okay, so that a couple of times I've had it for the instant results, and it wasn't too bad, just a little eye-watering. But one time this week, it was the worst of all the ones I've had, because twice, for reasons I don't understand, but on both sides, it made me start gagging.
Yeah, if they touch the back of your sinus, just run.
It's weird how connected all the holes in your head are.
You're like, that's one big cave back there.
What is going
nose,
on?
Throat, tongue, brain, stomach, lungs, they all sort of meet.
So back to the NCAA tournament. This I don't think we have a definitive word yet on the media outside of the CBS family of stations and networks. I will not be shocked if they really limit the media that can cover these six sites, because they're trying as best they can to really control exposure. And then they have said families will be allowed, but they haven't made a decision on other fans. This level of testing would suggest to me that we're going to have to see, as a country and in the Midwest, really continued fast improvement to where we get to any number of fans at these games.
Yeah, a long way from where we are right now. And you can't ignore just the national numbers because, again, I mean, the virus isn't observing state lines, and we've had our, worst days yet all this week. Look, it's a long way off, and I think we all just kind of have to keep telling ourselves that, and that things can improve a lot between now and then. And, you know, if push comes to shove and worse comes to worse, then maybe this is just going to be a televised event, and we'll just have to watch on TV. It's not the worst thing in the world. We've done it.
And for the media, it's good to be there. You should be there. You can get second-rate reaction through Zoom calls and that kind of stuff. It's not the same. It doesn't tend to be as personal. It's not the same kind of coverage, but the average fan doesn't care about that. They just want to watch the games. So
everybody's,
I think they'll do what they have to
right now. Yeah. And the players and teams, schools want to keep getting their messages out. So I imagine they'll still do interviews or maybe try to route it through a central source, but we'll still have some coverage of it. But look, man, it's just not going to be the same kind of year. I think we all know that.
Iowa's Caitlin Clark is arguably off to the best start of any college basketball player in the state of Iowa history, male or female. There have been some good ones. Drake had a great player. Would that be the 70s or the 80s? Someone has suggested like Connie Yori when she played. Randy Peterson was bringing up the great freshman seasons of Hoiberg and Barnes and McDermott. But the difference here with Caitlin Clark is she's the best player on the court right now, and it's not close. I mean, she is. You can just watch a game and think, well, that That person's on a different level. She's a true freshman. She was playing for Dowling this time last year.
Honestly, let's try to think for a moment. Do you remember a player at the collegiate level who came in and was immediately the best player out there? Was immediately great.
Magic Johnson is a freshman, but we're talking state of Iowa.
Well, no, I think you probably even have to go outside of the state of Iowa because I don't know that we have anybody like that. I mean, that comes in and is that freakish.
Yeah, I mean,
good.
If we're talking just in the state, you know, like Ricky Davis went pro after his freshman year, but he wasn't the best player on the court most nights.
He was really good. That's a good example. And I didn't understand why he was going pro, and then he went on to make like $80 million or something, and was in the NBA for a long time.
It's a little deceiving in basketball because you know you'll have a lot of people that come in and just stay 1 year. We've seen that. You know,
yeah.
Stay 1 year and then they go to the NBA. They go, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're the best player on the court.
Yeah, Wieskamp had a really good year and toyed with the NBA after his freshman year, but
at no time was he the best player.
He still isn't the best player on that team.
She is right now. If this continues, she's a lock for All Big Ten first team, and she's an All America candidate as a true freshman.
It's almost a Herschel Walker type thing.
That's a good example.
She's
yeah, different
two in
sport.
The country in scoring right now.
And but that's not all she does. Like last night, she had 11 rebounds, 37 points against Minnesota, and 5 assists, and it all looked effortless.
Kalen goes all the way in, has it blocked away by Mershon, who starts the third quarter, but then it's run down by Clark, and she drills a deep three-pointer. Second one, rimming no, but the offensive board by Kate Martin. And a deep three by Clark. Count it. Clark for three, top of the key. Count it.
All right, I'm starting to feel the energy.
Well, I was really disappointed that she didn't go to Drake because I thought, you know, Jenny Baranchek probably had a real good relationship with her, being mm-hmm. another Dowling grad. Drake has a very good women's basketball program.
Yeah, proud history, too.
One of the best ones in the country, and it's her hometown. So I really felt like Drake had a really good chance. And I imagine Iowa State fans were upset that she didn't go there. But if you look at this situation here, she clearly went to the right place. I mean, Lisa Bluter, who we all like, is a very likable coach, seems to be the good coach for her, too. I mean, you can't argue with the results.
No.
We only know so much, but she has put her in the right positions. She's made the entire team better. It's working perfectly. She went to the right school.
And Iowa, for 3 years in a row, has had the Big Ten Women's Basketball Player of the Season. Gustafson, her junior and senior seasons, and then Kathleen Doyle
right.
a year ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Caitlin Clark will be. I mean, she'll be in that conversation, I think, by the end of the year. I don't know if she'll make it 4 in a row, but if she did, my God.
Yeah, she's on the Wooden Award 25 list as a true freshman, and the Big Ten Network will now broadcast the next 5 Iowa women's games. So, it's a... Not everybody's going to watch women's basketball, but she, for those who are on the fence, she is someone that will get more eyes on the screen because she's fun to watch.
You got to wonder how big a star she's going to be by the end of her senior year, really. Well,
more Drake basketball tickets went on sale this morning. Drake is 13-0, the best record in college basketball, and that leads us to our quickie poll presented by WCI Pools and Spas.
When will you really start paying attention to Drake basketball? I am right now. I'll wait till they're 15-0. Wait till they're 20-0, or that's just not going to happen.
I'm paying attention now. I 13-0 with this 4-0 start in the Missouri Valley. I'm eagerly anticipating their next game. They're fun to watch and they're good.
We said the same thing back in 2008. I can remember the conversation back in. Well, if they beat this team, then we can start believing that this is for real.
If they go to Butler and win, I'll pay attention.
God, that was a fun game to watch. Leonard Houston almost jumped out of the gym. I'm watching already. If they somehow sweep Loyola being the other really good team in the Valley this year, how can you not pay attention?
And that would go to 15-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at that point, it's as you said, it's all bets off. I mean, who knows how far this could go. Let's put it this way. I haven't watched Drake play. And Sunday afternoon, the Bears are in the playoffs, and my plan is at 5:30 to turn on ESPN2 and watch the Bulldogs.
I know what you're up to there.
Yeah, the Bears. Drake
appreciates it.
That's a ripcord right there.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, this was kind of a recurring thing that's happened over the years. KXNO listeners, I mean, you remember this. It's been a search that's gone on for a long, long time. The 12 years we've done this show. Van Harden just on a mission.
This is Van Harden from down the hall at Van and Bonnie in the Morning. What am I doing in this studio? One of these sports yahoos took my headphones, and I'm here to reclaim them. I do like these sports shows, though, but if I ever catch the guy that took my headphones...
Well, I have great news to report. As Van approaches retirement and 50 years of broadcasting, Van found them.
Hey, Murph and Andy, you're not going to believe this. I found them. I found my headphones after all this time. Finally, I can retire. Now, I think what I'll do is take them home. I'm going to plug them into my brand new Sony Walkman. I knew that would impress you. This thing holds 50,000 songs or one phone message from my mother. So anyway, good luck to you, yahoos. It's been fun working with you. And I'm so glad I had a part of getting you on the air, because that's where you belong. Bye-bye.
Man, the legendary Van Harden, and he found those headphones. My parents would ask me if Van had found them yet, listening, on the streaming app.
Taking people's headphones in the radio world, that's a low blow.
Yeah.
You got to have them, and only your headphones feel right. And to just go in and brazenly take another man's property, let alone that of property.
It's like rubbing the feet of another man's woman.
Yeah, it's like giving a foot massage to Marcellus's wife.
You can't do it. You can't do it. You don't take another man's headphones. You don't massage a...
What was Marcellus's last name? I already forget. Marcellus.
Wallace.
That's it.
Mia Wallace.
Missing Mia Wallace.
All right, when we come back, Van will join us.
Let's cut right to it. Nobody does meat like Fairway. Nobody. And if you're somebody who wants to be a master, Fairway's hiring meat cutters. Quality pay, choice benefits, premium opportunities. There's more in store for you. Apply now at Fairway.
Bets off.
It's time for Murph and Andy's Play of the Day.
Off the opening tip, the teams both take a knee. In their continuing tribute to social justice, the coaching staff of the Milwaukee Bucks also taking a knee.
I like the fact that it was both teams. I may not agree or disagree, but both teams showing some solidarity here early, and now it's time to play basketball.
On 1460 AM and 106.3 FM, this is KXNO.
And because he finally found those headphones, Van Harden is able to join us here live in studio. Van, it is it's a pleasure. It's an honor to have you here.
These are sounding good.
Yeah. Jeez, they were missing for, 10 years?
I don't know how that whole thing ever started. I think we were probably, back in the old days, we didn't have enough commercials and we were trying to fill time or something. And
on the stream, especially.
Yeah.
They would just play over and over again. Yeah, my parents at one point even said, can you help Van find those,
But it is true. You lose your headphones radio broadcaster. It's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. And people take them,
But they do. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're a bunch of thieves. In
fact, on KXNO, when you guys can't find them, you go down to WHO. And on WHO, when we can't find them, we come down here.
You ever had anything taken out of, you put your own lunch in the refrigerator here and somebody took it?
Yeah.
That's the worst.
They ate half of it. I know when I was in Perry, all the commercials used to be live. And we had a guy that sat down, they had a half-hour newscast, and all the commercials in it were live, too. So the guy never turned the mic switch off the whole half hour. And one day, somebody went in there, took his lunch, sat down next to him, and ate every bit of his lunch while he was on air. Couldn't do anything.
Oh, that's great. So, Van, before we get into a few questions we have here about your great career and all the decades that you've entertained people, we're getting questions on Twitter about the turkey giveaway. What's going on there? What happened?
Yeah, we gave away 500 turkeys today.
500?
I was on the air. Hy-Vee invited me to come as a send-off out to their store at Mill Civic Parkway. So we did that, and had a bunch of people, dignitaries and stuff, showed up, which was very nice. Then they said, we have a truckload of 500 turkeys, and just to say thank you to you and your listeners, we want you to go out and give them away after you get off the air at 9 o'clock. I said, oh, okay. So I went out there, and... you know, it was reminiscent of WKRP.
God is my witness.
I thought, you know, even our general manager, Joel McRae, would know that frozen turkeys can't fly.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I'm sure there's a big turnout out there. All right, so we're going to hit you with some questions, Van, here, as you get ready. When is your final day?
Tomorrow's the last
Tomorrow is the last day.
And there's a reason for that.
50 years.
On January 8th, 1971... I cracked open my first microphone in Perry, Iowa. And I just, a year ago, I realized that, and I did the math, and I said, could that be right? Is that possible that that was 50 years ago? I said, yeah, I'm not too good at math, but I got that one right. So I thought, well, you know, I've kind of been thinking about this anyway, and I thought, well, I guess this would be a good time to bring the plane in for a landing on the 50th anniversary.
So that is 5 days before I was born. And I'll be 50 next week.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is...
You guys are sharing a 50th.
That's right.
That is crazy. What has this last few weeks felt like? Is it kind of surreal? I mean, you're on a perpetual farewell tour.
I get questioned on that a lot, and people are thinking maybe I'm going to be real sentimental or cry or, you know, like a lot of athletes do when they retire. And it's not a serene thing at all. I mean, I have fun every day no matter what from day one, and I'm still having fun, and I'm not too worried about it at all. Some people are, what are you going to do? How are you going to?
Well, you're going to sleep in, first of all, right?
Yeah, that's number one. It's not what I'm going to do. It's what I'm not going to do, and that's get up at 2:45.
You know, it's funny. You know, Van is kind of the sage of this building, and we all look up to him and value his opinion a lot. And, you know, when I was going to start doing the Today in Iowa show, the morning show over at WHO 13, I was all of a sudden going to have to start getting up really, really early, like Van does. And so I thought, okay, it sounded awful, you know, getting up at 2:30 in the morning, whatever. And I thought, well, you know, Van has clearly figured it out because he's been doing this for so long and he makes it look easy. I'll go down to him and pick his brain for a minute, and he's going to tell me some secret or he's going to give me some kind of pep talk, and it's going to make me feel a whole lot better about this, and he's going to somehow make this easier on me. He didn't. I said, you know, how did you get used to this? And he said, I haven't.
Never have. Yeah.
Never have. It's always the worst part.
Whenever that alarm goes off, it's not the morning. It's the middle of the night. And people say, well, you know, you get used to it after a while. Nope, you never do.
You see?
I'm not
helpful at all to
you. I'm not even a morning person. People can't believe that because I've done mornings for so long. I mean, in college and stuff, I was always up all night, and I was just kind of a night guy. But, you know, this was a plum job, and I knew it. So I thought, well, we'll give it a spin and see how long.
Try that for a few days. Yeah. Turned into many decades. So Van Harden is with us here in studio. Final broadcast tomorrow. Tomorrow. Wow. Most memorable interview.
Oh, wow. Most memorable interview. This will sound stupid to you guys, but it was a sports interview. When I was a kid, Denise Long was the big thing. She was on the front cover of Sports Illustrated. She'd score 100 points in a basketball game.
Yeah.
And I don't even know who that is.
It's a famous women's basketball player in Iowa.
Union Whitney, Iowa. Yeah. She was 6-on-6. And, I mean, the whole country was talking about her.
She got drafted by
Warriors,
somebody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it the Warriors?
She was on the Tonight Show and all that stuff. And I, you know, I, like everybody else, kind of idolized her. I thought, man, that's good. Well, one day we went over to Veterans Auditorium, and it was the first day of the girls' state basketball tournament. And so we did our court from half court, or show from half court. And I look around, and who walks in? Denise comes in. And, I mean, I'd never even met her before. She comes over and says, want to play horse? And I said, yeah, I do. And so we had an interview, and then we played horse, and I thought, well, there's no way I'm going to win this. So I tried a real wild shot from even off the court, and son of a gun, it hit the backboard and went in. And so I said, you know, I'm all puffed up. So here you go. And she did it, too. She did the exact same thing. But, I mean, I really enjoy it. I've talked to presidents and dignitaries and stuff. I love talking to listeners about as much as I do people like that.
That's great.
Yeah, right. I mean, somebody that's, you kind of feel like you're more on the level.
I was on the air one day, and I heard something about that there was a funeral home museum in, I think it was Marshalltown. And I just said on the air, is that true? And the guy that owns the funeral home museum was listening and calls up. And, I mean, I had a heyday talking to that guy.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, those unscripted, unexpected moments are the best. Yeah. Like, there was one time on the air here, somebody brought up that there used to be a place in Des Moines called the Boob and Lube.
Oh, yeah.
And we could not believe
that. I can show you where it is. Not that I went there, but...
Then the calls just took off, and it turned into, did you know Des Moines used to have a Playboy Club? And what? Yeah. You know, and just on and on and
did
on.
Did they tell you about Bammy, the guy that had the restaurant that was on the south side? He was Italian. He had no sign up. He never did any advertising. The place was always packed. You'd go in there, and he was a showman. He'd walk around with a trombone with a boxing glove on the end of it, hit you in the back of the head, or he'd spray the fire extinguisher. And, you know, people would take people there that didn't know what was going to happen.
Where was this?
It was down by the airport on Fleur Drive.
Oh. And it was called
Bammy, B-A-M-I, Bammy's, which was a nickname for, I forget what his, you know, an Italian name, obviously.
Well, and everybody likes hearing old stories like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but they know all about that, where they can kind of chime in with your conversation.
Well, like the Reichharts and the Babes, they had personality, and people went for that, but they didn't get hit in the back of the head with a boxing
No. So, Van, you've had many things you do on an annual basis or a monthly basis or bits you revisit. What's your favorite recurring, like the thing you did many years or many months or many times?
Once every 5 years, we did the journey to the center of the earth.
Okay.
And I was broadcasting one day, and I was talking about, what's the highest we've ever broadcast from? That's probably a hot air balloon. And a guy calls, and he said, hey, I work at Martin Marietta Limestone Mines up in Ames. How would you like to do a show from the lowest place you've ever been? And I said, well, yeah, how's that work? And he had us up there to look it over. They've got limestone mines that are like 5 stories down under the ground. So
now that's got to be tough for radio.
Well, it was. And we took our engineer with us, John Sellers, and said, can you get something out of here? And he found the longest extension cord he could find. And it was about 2 feet too short. But anyway, he hooked it up. We found a way to do it. So we're down there. It was unbelievable. And they let us take school buses down there. We took hundreds of listeners to drive through the center of the earth.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This place exists.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
is that just one little spot for you to stand? There's a whole tunnel?
Oh, it's 5 floors. It's a city. They have street names and everything.
Holy smokes. Yeah. I want to see this place.
It's interesting because you never cheated on the, we're really doing this, because radio can be theater of the mind.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to go 5 stories down. You could just say you were, but you were always honest with that.
And that was on April Fool's Day. We did an April Fool's Day parade, and we got the marching band continuous loop sounds and all sorts of stuff. And we had a big April Fool's Day parade going through downtown Des Moines. And one of the guys from Channel 13, the engineers, drove 10 miles out of his way to get out and to make sure he didn't hit the traffic jam.
That's great.
All right, we're here with Van Harden here on the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. Van, his last day is tomorrow over on WHO Radio, so he's got a few minutes for us today. What is the most embarrassing moment that you've had on the air?
Boy, I'd love to say I haven't had any embarrassing moments. I only had one time when I was out doing a remote, and Bonnie was back at the studio. And so I was talking to her, and I didn't know we were on the air. And that's not a problem for me, because I don't say things that shouldn't be on the air anyway. But she said, well, Van, we're on the air. And I said, yeah, right, right. Right. And with that, I went on for a minute or two, and she said, no, really, we're on the air. And I thought, this is that little country girl, Bonnie. She doesn't lie.
Oh, yeah.
So that was embarrassing after having been in the business for a long time and not knowing you were on the air.
Van, what is a sign that really resonated with you of WHO's reach as a radio station?
Wow. Well, frequently we would get, back before MP3s, we would get cassette tapes in the mail from Germany and from Austria and from all this Switzerland, and it would have a recording of me that was recorded there. And usually those guys are in some kind of club, you know, that they don't have a life, so they go up in the mountains and, you know, try to listen to all the radio
the
stations.
Ham Radio Club or something.
But, yeah. And another good one was we went to Mount Rushmore one time, and we broadcast from on top of the visitor center looking at Mount Rushmore. And we went up there, and we turned on the radio, and we figured we'd have to have a phone line to hear the station. Man, WHO just came booming in there.
Wow.
And so we could listen to monitor right off the air.
Tell us something that you learned from radio that applies to life.
I learned it from radio, and I learned it from golf. The madder you get or the more upset you get about something, the worse it gets. And I first learned that on the golf course because I was on the golf team in Adel, and I was on Drake's golf team too. And I would watch other people that would get really mad at themselves because they hit a bad shot or an errant shot, and it always got worse. I mean, it just never got better. And so I thought, you know, golf and radio gives you another opportunity to redeem yourself with your next show or your next golf shot. And so, you know, don't get so worked up about it. Just move on and learn from
it. Or even the next minute that you're on the air.
That's right.
You just keep on talking. Right.
Well, it's been a year and quite a start to this new year. You've seen a lot in your 50 years of broadcasting, Van. What makes you know that we're going to be okay?
You know, a lot of it is, of course, I'm biased, but turning on the radio and hearing my friends on the radio. I mean, that's why a lot of people listen to you guys, because you feel like friends to them. I have people tell me that all the time, and that's the highest compliment I can get, because that's why I got into the business. I listen to guys on the radio, and they seem like a friend to me. But and I heard that over and over and over this morning, and it's just very reassuring, and I think that's about as reassuring as anything. Now, other times a day after I get off the air, then they get into the political stuff and all of that, and that's fine. But that's not what we did in the morning. I don't think people want to hear that stuff when they are getting up in the morning and brushing their teeth and going to the bathroom and all. And so people have said you've been our steady rock through all of these things, and I appreciate that.
I've heard a lot of people say that about you and your show. So what are you going to be able to cut the cord completely, or are you going to – I mean, clearly there will be those of us here that will still want to reach out to you from time to time. What are you going to do to make sure that you really are retired?
Well, there are a lot of endorsement advertisers that want me to keep doing that.
I can totally understand
that. So I told the station, I said, look, I'll come in one day every month and record commercials. You just have them all ready, but none of this late stuff and all of that like we have now that you guys have probably experienced too. And so I'll be doing that. And then they want me to take trips too, because I haven't really taken a lot of trips. But
it's a good idea.
I know we can fill up an airplane and take people places. It's just not time yet, you know.
Once a month, sure. Have the ads out in front of me, and then next to them, just a stack of cash.
Yeah.
A cold, hard cash. I don't want to have to go cash a check,
under
just
the
cash.
Table.
Van Harden is with us. Van, WHO 13 show in the afternoon, I believe.
Oh,
I was there for some of that, and now with the, you know, the new people coming in, some of them didn't know that. So when we started this Hello Iowa show, I said, you know, we used to have Van and, would it be Connie then?
It was Connie at first.
Yeah, Van and Connie, and then switched to Bonnie.
I was on at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then they shifted it to, I think, 2:30 or something.
That's when I was familiar with it.
With my Cub Scout troop.
In the studio?
Yeah, in the studio. We were in a little tent next to
Vanna.
Were
you the one who kept trying to beep my nose?
Yeah. So what do you remember about, how long was that show on, and what do you remember about it, trying to do that 5 days a week?
It was on for 4.5 years, which you guys, in TV years, that's like dog years, you know?
Yeah.
And I just remember when we first went on the radio, the ratings for the station were horrible. They were not good. And so we brought them up right away. And so Joe Lentz, the TV general manager, calls me and he says, hey, we want you to do a TV show. And I said, well, I don't think we got time to do that. We got all this radio stuff. He said, no, we'll get you a producer. We'll have everything all done. And you just come in and do it. I said, okay, well, we'll give it a try. And all of the camera crew and the floor staff had bets going as to how long this thing was going to last. And I think, 2 weeks, 3 months, something like that.
Yeah.
And so we did it. And he said, you know what? He said, we're going to start doing shows that are longer. And we'd like you guys to teach us how to be a little more impromptu and informal. And then we're going to have longer newscasts. Well, you guys do now. You got, you know, Andy, you do one in the morning, and you have weekend shows and everything. And so we did. We showed them a little bit of that, and then they showed us a little bit about how maybe being a little more on time and timely. Because, the great thing about, like, your show is you can get on here and you can have a full-length conversation.
Right.
And you can't do that on TV. Can you?
Can't really do it on your show either, on
no,
the radio.
That's true.
You got so many advertisers.
Yeah, that's the bugaboo of that thing is it's so popular, everybody wants to be on it, and there's lots of commercials.
I have filled in for you before, and I felt like I could barely clear my throat. And it was time to go to another
Just get going, and here we go.
Hey, Dan, I wanted to ask you one question before we let you go. So I mean, you've seen radio change a lot in your time. And, you know, there have been a lot of pieces of the media or the media that we once knew have kind of dropped off. Why do you think radio will go on?
Well,
talk radio specifically.
When you think about it, there have been a lot of changes digitally, how we do things and different companies own them and all of that. When you think about it, it's the same principle. There's a voice coming out of a little speaker, and a listener could care less who owns the company. And they could care less if you digitally edited it. You know, it's the same principle. And I just think that if we get good communicators, and I count you guys in that realm, that people are going to still stick to it. I mean, people just like this. You're their friends.
And they want local.
Yeah.
They
local,
want
local, local,
local.
Yeah.
Van, you've been very kind to us. You've always been helpful. Unselfish and just been a great mentor to us over here, and we're proud to know you and happy for your 50 years and
he's one of the big reasons we have a job here.
Yeah,
I was so happy to be able to help this start here because I knew it would work. I mean, I knew you, and I knew together that I just knew it would work, and boy has it.
And Andy compared you to Santa Claus. That's a real compliment from What's Bugging Andy. Thank you, Van. All the best to you.
Thanks to both of you guys.
Thank you, Van.
Van Harden. He'll be back for some ads and a stack of cash. And we'll be back.
Check.com for complete details.
Don't let me throw it down.
It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
Throw it down, Murph. We'll make it quick. There are 3 NFL playoff games Saturday. If you could only watch one, which would you pick? Colts at Bills, Rams at Seahawks, or Bucks at Washington?
Bucks at Washington. Chase Young has called out Tom Brady, and just be interesting to see if Brady can get this Bucks team rolling out of a wild card position with no hope of a home game.
I'm picking the Bills and Colts. I've had more fun watching the Bills this year, I think, than any other team out there. And they're a really, really balanced team, and Josh Allen's a real deal. It's fun to watch a guy that mobile that has that kind of arm.
Andy, there are 3 playoff games on Sunday. If you could only watch one of these games, which would you pick? Ravens at Titans, Bears at Saints, or Browns at Steelers?
As interesting as Browns at Steelers could be, I think I'm still more interested in what the Saints are going to do against the Bears. Maybe that's not going to be much of a game, but I don't know. Who knows? It's It's close, but I'm going to take the Saints. I'd like to see Drew Brees again.
I will go with Browns and Steelers. I'm intrigued by the Browns, and they've got a lot of interesting personalities. Their head coach won't be there or is not able to coach. It's in prime time. The Steelers are one of those brands from childhood. Browns Steelers, the most interesting of those for me.
All right, the poll is up on Twitter, at Murph underscore Andy. Who won Throwdowns? Was it Murph or was it Andy?
That was a quick Throwdowns, because when you're talking to Van Harden, you don't want to stop. I mean, jeez.
You don't cut off Van Harden.
You don't cut off Van Harden.
Last week.
Yeah. We would say hello to him on Twitter in the Royal Mile inbox, except you think Van Harden's on Twitter? Van Harden's not on Twitter. Are you kidding me? Trending Iowa to start hour two.